I'm glad to see this number out this evening. We had a good crowd. Is this on? Can you hear? Okay. Dennis is saying thumbs up. We're glad to see that you're all here. And I know that Richard Boone and Bobby Jackson, either they liked the lesson so much this morning they came back tonight. Or maybe that I couldn't see Bobby very well. Maybe she slept halfway through. But as we've been speaking, it's going to be the same lesson that we had this morning. Bobby and Richard probably correct me because there's probably going to be some things that I said this morning that I won't say this evening or vice versa. But I wanted to just acknowledge those men who have preached before, Dennis and Mike and Richard. And if you're like me, sometimes when somebody preaches a lesson or teaches a class, sometimes they will say something or come across a phrase that just kind of hits you, and you look at it, and all of a sudden, you know you've read that verse many times before, but then all of a sudden, you kind of look at it from a different perspective. And that's what happened last Sunday when Richard was preaching, and he got into the part of his sermon, and he went back to Acts, and he talked about this 3,000 souls that were saved, and this is just really an opening statement, and I just want to kind of just use this, and we'll get into the main lesson. But I looked at it, and he read this, Acts, the second chapter, verses 41, 42, when it says, those who gladly received his word were baptized. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then it made me think about something that Jesus said. When he said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when he's talking, he says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And then that led me to think of another verse that states, Paul writing to the Galatians says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And what I wanted to get back to and get you to think about, and especially if you're reading and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a day or three chapters a day or whatever, but look at what we're reading. Because sometimes there's going to be something you're going to look at and you're like, well, what does God want me to get from that? And to look into it a little bit deeper. And this is how this verse hit me when Richard read it and I started thinking about what Jesus said and then Paul saying to the Galatians, that this goes deeper than skin color, deeper than race, nationality, male and female, as he says here. Whether someone's rich or poor, God doesn't care. He looks at the soul of man, and that's one of the things that I think that we need to do. And especially in this day and time, there's all kind of emotions that are stirred from everybody, from every nation, every race, whatever the case may be. But we as Christians, when we look at somebody else, we have to go beyond what we see. We have to go to and look at that they are a soul. Jesus saying, what if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So that's one of the things that I just want you to think about next time you go and you read a subject. And you're starting to look at, what is the word going to tell you? What's different? What is there for you to think about? And so that kind of leads me into this evening's lesson. And I want to talk about the 10 lepers. And if you want to, you can go ahead and turn to Luke 17, or all the scriptures will be up there, but Luke 17, 11 through 19, if you wish to follow along, because there may be something in this reading that you look at, and you may look at differently than you have before, and will cause you to think, and when you go home tonight, you may say, I need to look into this a little bit deeper. So Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, and it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, this is Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria. And then as he entered a certain village, and what's interesting about this, he says he just entered a certain village. He doesn't give us the name or anything else like that. But as he went there, he says, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And if you go back and you think about in Leviticus, where it has the rules about what lepers are supposed to do, and they were supposed to be ostracized because they didn't want to pass that disease on to someone else. And that as people approached, they'd stop and they'd cover their face and they would tell them to stay away, you know, and alerting them that, listen, I have a disease. And one thing I didn't mention this morning, but I did read some things on things about leprosy and how it attacks the body. And it's not, based on what you read, it's not a pretty sight. So you can imagine that here are these three men, and then these 10 men, and they say, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And these miracles that we've read, and some other cases where Jesus never touched anybody, that he healed from afar, he did the same thing here. And I think that's one thing that's interesting to me is even though they're lepers and they're not part of the congregation of people or in cities, they still knew something about Jesus. And as they saw him approaching, and maybe people were coming up and said, Jesus is coming. But they cried out, have mercy on us. And so he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. But he says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And a lot of us, when you think about the stories that are told in the New Testament, especially the encounters that Jesus has. This isn't the only time he's had an encounter or told a story about a Samaritan. We know the story of the Good Samaritan. We know about him meeting the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. But it points this out specifically, is that he was a Samaritan. And if you remember Richard's lesson last week, when he talked about, go back and look at the things that Philip did. Look at the action steps that he took. I want you to look at the things that this leper did. He said, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And so then Jesus asked him three questions. As he stands and looks around, and I'm sure that there was just Jesus and this leper. It's interesting too, is we don't see a whole crowd of people around. It appears it was just only Jesus and this leper. And he says that Jesus said and answered, he says, were there not 10? I think I remember seeing 10 of you guys. But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And one thing that it made me think about is just this story. And did you know, and Bobby and Richard can't answer this because they already know the answer, but this is the only gospel in which this account is given. And so it makes you think, you know, why is it there? And then the next question I had, it was like, what don't I know? What don't you know? All we know is that Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. Now, did they go to the priest? We don't know that, right? Did something happen later on because they didn't come back, and all of a sudden their leprosy came back? We don't know that. There's a lot of things that we don't know, but we know enough that we need to take notice of what has been said here. And we talk about the book of Luke, and we also talk about the book of Acts. And you know that Luke wrote the book of Acts and the book of Luke to Theophilus. So my question was, and like I've mentioned a lot, is what is Luke wanting Theophilus to see? And then what is he to learn from these examples? And so the question is, what do you think that Luke wanted Theophilus to learn from Jesus' encounter with the 10 lepers? And as mentioned, no other gospel account has a story in it. And then the question is what can we learn from Jesus' encounter with these 10 lepers. So I think there's a story for us here. There's an example for us. And we need to look into it and to think about, what are we? Which of these lepers represents us? Which of these lepers represents us? And the reason why I ask that is that sometimes, have you ever had something really good happen? You know, that you've been waiting for something, you've been going through some trials and tribulations, and all of a sudden, it seems like a whole load has been lifted off your shoulders. And you're so excited and everything's happy. But then you're like the 9 lepers. You just go on about your business. You're thankful that, you know, this load has been lifted off my shoulders. But you never thank God for it. And we can all be guilty of that. And so that's what I want us to think about. Are we like the Samaritan? Are we going back to God when blessings hit us? And then it made me think about, when I was getting ready to come here, is I said, why are we here today? Why did you come here? What are we looking for? Do we just come here because it's in our makeup, because we're a Christian, we are supposed to be here? What are our expectations? A lot of times you'll see, you know, that somebody might come in and all of a sudden it's like they fall asleep during the lesson. And what's really interesting is when it's at a 4:30 assembly that somebody falls asleep, you would think that I've had all afternoon to rest. But sometimes people, they're here because they're quote-unquote supposed to be here. But they're really, I don't know what their expectations are. I don't know what their expectations are. And then, are we thankful for this time to assemble? And I think I can say this about all of you and everybody that was here this morning, is that I think we are. Because there were like weeks that we couldn't meet. And people would say, I can't wait till we meet. I can't wait to see my brothers and sisters. I can't wait to sing. I can't wait to partake of the Lord's Supper together. I can't wait just to be with my brethren. And so I think that a lot of us are thankful that we have this time to assemble. But the next question is, we're thankful to see everybody, and is that why we come? But will God be pleased with our worship to Him? Jesus speaking in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9, He says, when He repeats this story, you know, from God, He says, this people draw near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. They're there because they're supposed to, but their heart's not really in it. And He goes on, He says, and in vain they worship Me, teaching as the doctrines and commandments of men. And so, is God pleased with our worship? Is our heart really in it? And so, I want you to think about those things. And the lesson kind of boils down to 3 questions from this story of Jesus and these lepers. The first one is, I want us to look at, and do we recognize our blessings? And I asked Jack to lead that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Jordan led that song for me this morning. And it's something that we need to think about. Has anybody ever asked you, well, how are you blessed? And then you kind of look, or they look at you like, oh, I don't know. And I've told this story before, and I told this morning, I said, listen, if all of us here had to wait for me to invent a car, we would all still be walking or riding a horse or riding on a cart. I don't have the mental makeup to be able to do that. But those are blessings that we have, and we should be thankful that people have the intellect to be able to do those things. You have a house full of stuff. I have a house full of stuff that we need to be thankful for. Refrigerators, running water, bathrooms, stoves, microwaves. And then we have people that can go out and grow fruits and vegetables and raise cattle, chickens. And then we have other people that are smart enough to make up assembly lines and be able to pack all this stuff for us. there are a lot of blessings that we need to be thankful for. But are we thankful? Do we think about those things? Or are we just so consumed about what's going on around in our life? So going back and recognizing our blessings, this has to be the top of our list. Is this that Jesus came and died for us. But John 3:16 tells you how much you and I are blessed. Is that God so loved the world. And we started talking off. Remember we talked about the souls of men? He didn't say that God so loved the Jews. God so loved these people. He said he loved the world. Every single soul that has ever stepped upon this earth, God loved. And he says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to be thankful to our God for his Son and for the Holy Spirit who delivered their word to men. And then Peter, writing to the Christians, said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Think about what it's saying, is that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And yes, it was precious, but then he was innocent. But you think about all the things that he went through, that he suffered, that you and I might have our sins forgiven. The Hebrew writer said, look, it was impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. He was trying to get the Hebrews to say, look, it was impossible. All that did was remind us day and month and year of the things that we went through. But they couldn't take away sin. But Jesus' blood could. And this, look at these words once again, like I said. And Paul writing to the Romans, he says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We all fall under these two categories. We've all committed lawless deeds. Not that we went out and murdered somebody, but one of the things that we've all broken God's commandments, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But he said, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And only those who accept God's terms for salvation are the ones who are blessed. And Timothy, Paul said, look, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. And so when you look at it, Paul said, look, godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. The world is chasing after all kind of physical things. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in that same rat race. But he says, look, Paul said to Timothy, he said, look, having food and clothing, we need to be content. We need to understand that with godliness, that godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, remember what Jesus said, what happens if a man gains the whole world, loses his own soul? What does it profit him? That's what this is saying. We need to understand that godliness with contentment is great gain. The second question out of the three is, do we remember the source of our blessings? And I kind of go back and I want you to think about those 10 lepers. They were all proceeding on their way away from Jesus. He said, you go show yourselves to the priest. They didn't argue with him. They didn't say, no, why are you doing this? They turned, but they said as they were walking away and as they were going, that their leprosy was cleansed. But there was one out of the 10 that realized what the source of that blessing was. And he was the one that turned around and came back to Jesus. And so what I want us to think about, and especially like for me, is that do I remember the source of my blessings? No matter how small they may be or how great. But I need to remember that source, and that source being God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Who else is blessed? Is the world blessed with these things? No, Christians are blessed. And that's what Paul was trying to get the Ephesians. He said, look, blessed be the God of and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, blessed be Him who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have something that the world doesn't have. And if we're not careful, we can let that go away, just like those 9 lepers didn't return. If we're not thankful to Him for the things that He's given to us. James writing, he says, Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James wanted him to say is, look, every good gift that you receive, every perfect gift, it's not from me, it's not from Jack, you know, it's not from Barbara or from Chuck or Bruce or Lynn or David or Richard. It's not. Yet we may give things to other people, but where did they ultimately come from? They came from God. He's trying to get them to say, look, every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights. That's where our source of blessing comes from. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians again, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. And so when you look at it, he says that he's able to do way above what we want. But we have to make sure that we're praying according to his will, not ours. He says, and this is an amazing scripture, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we just need to continue to remember the blessings that we have in Christ. He says, according to the power that works in us. It doesn't work in the world. We're going through this pandemic. We're going through all these issues in our country and throughout the world. But we have a God that still loves for us and cares for us. He can do things for us that the government can't do, that our neighbors can't do. And so we need to think about these things. And then the last question is, do we respond with thanksgiving? And that's where it goes back once again, the story of the 10 lepers. And when you think about it, I mean, it's pretty interesting. And it made me think, and like I was saying, is sometimes you read things, but why was this Samaritan with 9 Jews? We know that the Jews hated the Samaritans. But sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation that we don't care what religion somebody is, what color they are, what country they're from. But if we all have the same problem, we band together. And I think sometimes when you read this, it's interesting because I think that's what happened. These people had leprosy. To whom were they going to go? They went to each other and they clung. Jesus, have mercy on us. And he tells them to go and they're healed. But yet one, a Samaritan, returns to give thanks to him. And so do we respond with thanksgiving with the blessings that we receive? And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, I think this is an interesting scripture because it's short, but it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Has anybody ever given you a gift that was indescribable? What does he mean by indescribable gift? think about it. Don't just read the scripture, but think about what has God said? Because the gift that he had is better than any gift anybody can ever give you in your whole life. He's given you and me freedom from sin through obedience to his word. It's a gift that no one else can give you. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew where his source of everything he had came from. But he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory over this life, over sin. And I mentioned before, this morning we talked about it, is if anybody could be down, Paul could have been that person. The things that he suffered and the things that he went through. But I want you to just think about it. Do you think that Paul, for one day after he obeyed the gospel, was ever unthankful? Never gave God thanks? He was thankful for everything. Remember what he said, that he said, I have learned that no matter what condition or what state that I'm in, is to be content. I've learned to abound, I've learned to be abased. But he always came back and he always gave thanks for God, because God saw him through. God provided for his needs. And we need to have that same thankfulness in our hearts. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. What does in everything mean? Does he want you to leave out something? I want you to go back and just think about what we just talked about with Paul. Paul's telling them, in everything give thanks. And think about those words coming from Paul. And then think about what you and I go through. There's no way. It has nothing. It can never touch what Paul went through. But he says, in everything give thanks. Rejoice always. Paul, you were beaten, you were stoned. He says, no, you rejoice always. Why? That goes back to that indescribable gift. Paul knew what he had received from them. And then pray without ceasing. It's not meaning to go and just pray that you can't even talk to anybody because you're praying. We know in the Old Testament there are examples that people prayed in the morning and at noon and in the evening. They had their set times. What is he saying? Pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. And that's what happens sometimes when people fall away from the Lord, is that they give up. They stop praying because they don't feel like God's answering their prayers. They're not a thankful people. They're not a thankful person. But he says, pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Keep going. Keep asking God. Because him is from whom all things come. Paul, writing to the Philippians again, he says, be anxious for nothing. Now, you think about the things that we have, and we get anxious about things. But think about living in the first century when these letters were being written. And then Paul says, look, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. He's always going back to thanksgiving. Give thanks. And let your request be known to God. And this is the point, is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we have a thankful attitude, if we put everything in God's hands, there comes a peace that knowing that I have a God that cares for me. And I think that's the point here, is when he says, and the peace of God. Let me ask you a question. When you were growing up, and some may, and this may not apply to everyone, but when you were little, did you ever wonder about, well, where's my next meal coming from? Now, there are people in this world that do. But did you ever wonder, where's my clothes coming from? There was a comfort that you had with your family and your parents. And there was a peace that there's things that, you know, when you grow up, all of a sudden, you start to realize what life's all about. And then you look back at the things that your parents did for you. But he says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. No matter what's happening to you, it will guard your hearts. And then Paul writing to the Colossians. Now, this is where I keep going back. You look at these scriptures and where they're coming from. Go and look at a concordance. Go look at BibleGateway.com and just put in the word thank. And say you want to look at any part of that word. And it'll say thankfulness. It'll say thank. It'll say thanks. It'll give you all this stuff. And you look at how many times that that word is written. But you think about the number of times that Paul uses that in his writings. He says, but above all things, put on love. That's the bond that cements us all here together this evening. He says, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Be thankful for that indescribable gift. And then continuing his letter in the to the Colossians, he says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Whatever we do is that we need to be giving thanks unto God, that we have the ability to do those things. We all have abilities. Some may have stronger abilities in one area than another, but we all have a strength. Remember I talked about if you were dependent upon me building a car? That's like the church. There's things that you and I can do that you may be able to do that I can't do. But we together can help build up the church. And we need to be able to give thanks for God for those abilities that we have. So I'll end with this. I'm going to go back through the three questions again. So first, let us be able to recognize our blessings. And we would go home tonight, we get in bed, or we go and sit down to the table to eat dinner or whatever. Let us all reflect on those blessings. Driving your car down the road, be thankful that there was somebody there that could make that car for you. That you're not having to walk 8 miles, 15 miles, 20, however many miles it was for you to get here. That you were able to get here. And then think about, if I had to walk that many miles, would I even come? So we need to learn how to recognize our blessings. We also need to remember their source. I can give you a gift, you can give me a gift. But where that actually eventually came from was from God. But we need to remember the source of our blessings. And then we need to be a thankful people. Has anybody ever given you anything and you didn't thank them for it? I'll thank them later. I'll send them a card. The day goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by, and you know, then all of a sudden you go like, man, I never sent them a thank you card. I never said thank you. But let us give God thanks for the blessings that we have. And so I'd like you to go ahead and turn your songbooks to the song that Jack selected, 287, right, Jack? 287.